Welcome to the Two Geeks and a Microphone podcast, your one-stop shop for television, movie, video games, comic books, book reviews, and more. Now, without further ado, here's Steven and Mike.
Welcome, everybody, to Two Geeks and a Microphone podcast. I am your host, Stephen Buster, along with our other host, Mr. Michael Shanks. Mike, say hey to everybody.
Good morning to all you geeks out there in geekdom land.
We have a great show for you today because Mr. Mike has been wanting to talk about this and to discuss this, and so he is all got his notes, got his thoughts, got his concepts, and he is all ready to roll. I'll let him introduce what the topic is today. But first and foremost, please don't forget to check out our page, our website, geeksmic.com, 2GEEKSMIC.com. There you will find our links and portals to our Facebook page, our merch page, our new merch page. We'll make jokes about that for ages,
probably. I'm wearing a new Two Geeks and a Microphone t-shirt from TeePublic, nice. By the way.
Nice. Cool. I do like how you can order your own colors.
Yes.
You can mix your own colors and logos. I mean, I like that. And you can choose yourself what you want. If you want a hoodie, if you want a shirt, you know, and the type of shirt. Didn't you say that one was like the super soft? Super soft fabric?
They call this the tri-blend is what they call this. And it's a nice, really nice thin t-shirt, which is something that
you've mentioned before that you like the thinner.
Yes. I really do. I mean, I like the thick one too. But especially for the summertime, these are so nice to wear. They feel really comfortable.
For me, I like super soft. Is it super soft?
Yes, it's very soft.
I love super soft. Yes.
You will love this style of t-shirt. You're going to have to buy one.
Excellent. Yes. I'll be ordering shortly. So also our merch page, our Ko-fi page, which is kind of like Patreon, but we went with Ko-fi because we actually liked it. A little bit better, and it didn't take as much money as Patreon does. So,
Go ahead.
Well, I said you can buy us a coffee buy us a coffee at Ko-fi, and that's like $2 for a month, or you can become a subscriber at $2 a month if you want to. But what that does is, what's all the stuff we've got on our Ko-fi page?
We've gained a lot. We've been trying to put up videos for each of the episodes. So every time I finish editing an episode, I try and upload the video that coincides with it. Especially if you listen to the Matt Hempel episode on collecting, that's a really good one to go back and watch the video for.
Oh yeah, because he was showing us all the stuff that he has in his man cave or his geek cave, you know, his geek den.
Yeah, he's got a pretty nice setup, so that's a good impressive one. That's a good one to go back and watch.
Right, but $2 gets you access to everything
for
30 days.
And of course, we did our Green Lantern movie commentary for the 10th anniversary of Green Lantern
movie. Yes, for the 10th anniversary, so you can check that out. That's actually kind of fun.
Yep.
Where we talk Green Lantern and all that,
and that is the only place that's
the movie. We're talking through most of it. Right, so.
And that is the only place that's available. We didn't release audio of that one, so if you want to watch that, Ko-fi's the place. And it'll cost you less than a Starbucks coffee too.
Right.
That's true. Because Starbucks coffee is overpriced.
Right. Well, a lot of coffee shops. I mean, $5 for a coffee is like, ouch, kind of a thing. So, all right. Well, with that stated, we just want to make sure you know, twogeeksmic.com. That's just the portal. That's our website that takes you to all of that. And And we'd love to hear from you. So if you want to send us a message through the website, that's great. If you want to go to our Facebook page and send us notes, we have heard from some of you on there has been some asking some questions of Stephen of, hey, have you seen the Joker yet? And I have not, but we have it planned. So we're going to have a special guest with us, or I'm going to watch the Joker movie. We have a special guest joining us, a previous guest that we've had on the show, Aaron McCoy is going to be with us to have this discussion about the Joker movie. So thank you for making that note and that question on our website and sending us some notes. We do listen to you, and so we worked it in, and I'm pretty excited about the opportunity to hear what you guys have to say, and I'll give you my opinion, because I'm not looking forward to seeing it. I know people are like, oh, you need to see this, because Mike, didn't you tell me that's pretty dark?
It's extremely dark. Okay. I think this is the darkest Joker we've ever seen, honestly.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's very dark, very different. Yeah. This will be a fun discussion.
I did hear the actor Joaquin
Phoenix
did a fabulous job. I heard it was just incredible.
He did. It was very good. I have mixed emotions about that Joker, which we'll get into that in that episode. So we'll see. But I still think it's a good movie. I think it's a good movie. I have mixed emotions. It's
all right.
that's a difficult one.
Yeah. So that's coming up, you guys. So thank you for interacting with us. We appreciate it. And so that's coming. So, all right. Well, with that, the two geeks, I want to make sure we get people to the website to check that out. And today's topic is in the Jokerverse. No, I'm just kidding. It's Batman. It's Batman. We're talking about Batman and what else? I want you to specifically state what it is you want to talk about and bring this whole thing to bear, because you are chomping at the bit to have this discussion. Go for it.
Well, before we do that, here, let's do this.
Okay.
To the Batpulse.
All right.
Right on. We are set and ready.
So even though we're not talking about Adam West Batman, we are talking about Michael Keaton Batman, which is my favorite Batman. So Michael Keaton, it has been confirmed that he is back in the – he's been back signed by Warner Brothers. Suit. He is coming back. Well, it hasn't been confirmed yet that he's in the bat suit. We do have photos of him on the set of the new Flash movie.
Right, but he's not, came out too.
He's not in the bat suit, and we'll look at that photo.
Yeah, so just for clarification for the audience, I kind of want to give everybody some behind the scenes here.
Sure.
So – we first get everybody. This is funny because of how Mike is chomping at the bit. So first we get the picture. We get the picture that I've got, you know, I've got behind me,
right,
of the bat suit with some blood on it.
Right.
And Mike's like, we got to talk about it. We got to talk about it. I'm like, okay, that's fine. Well, we're planning to, you know, we get these things scheduled of when we're going to talk about them and stuff. Well, in the meantime, more information comes out, and Mike's like, we got to talk about it. We got to talk about it. He's like, oh, wait, here. Let me send you the links through Facebook. So he sends me Facebook messages with links. Okay, we got to look at these articles. We got to look at this. I'm like, okay. So then we're all right. So we got it. We're scheduled. We're good.
Dude, this is Michael Keaton Batman.
I know.
Come on.
It doesn't end there. Then the next thing is, oh, we got set pictures. We got to talk about it. I mean, so we are making sure we talk about this because my sanity can't take it anymore. No, I'm just teasing.
Nice. Well, I don't know.
Okay, but you did mention their set photos. We do. That's like, and that's not the most recent though. The most recent that I heard that I want to talk about is rumor. As you said, unconfirmed. He signed up for 3 movies.
I've heard that too.
So that's the latest that I heard. So it was like, first we got the picture, then we got more information about the Flashpoint, you know, this whole Flash movie. Then it was the set photos, and now we've got the 3 movie deal. So
right.
That for me is my timeline of topics, I guess, but as what you have sent to me. So, and you're already starting to talk about all of them together, and I want to make sure everybody understood How much you're like,
well, and then
talk about,
and then we did talk about this previously a little bit, but we also have news on the 89 Batman comic book. There's more news on that too, and I want to get to that in this episode also, because man, there's some cool stuff that's going to be in that comic book, and I'm just thrilled because it kind of confirms that, you know, those other two movies, you know, that were directed by Joel Schumacher, the two that I don't believe exist.
That shall not be named.
Well, the way this comic book goes, they don't exist.
Right.
I love it.
So I don't think I've ever seen you this prepared or this pumped. I'm not saying you're never prepared, but I'm just saying you are prepared for this episode. So everybody strap in, hold tight, because here we go. Dude, all right, it's all you, brother.
This is Michael Keaton Batman. I am Michael pumped, Keaton, okay? Batman.
He is ready.
So my first topic of discussion is, first of all, they're claiming that this movie is based on Flashpoint. Now, and we discussed Flashpoint, and you just recently watched Flashpoint. It is one of my...
Thank you. That's a great episode.
Oh, my gosh.
If you haven't heard that episode, that's one of my favorites that we have done.
Yes.
Because I appreciate the fact... Because I had not watched it, and you said I needed to watch it, and I really enjoyed it, and we had a great discussion. So continue on.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to go and read the Flashpoint comic book on the DC app, too. Because I don't think I've ever actually read the comic, and now I want to. And I know the comic is slightly different from the film, animated movie. Mm-hmm. So going back to that discussion, though, and they're claiming that this film, now they're saying it's based on the Flashpoint. So I don't know if it's
okay.
I don't know if it's going to have
every
the,
time they say that.
Yeah.
Every time I say it's based on, it's like,
so
okay.
It is definitely, and we'll get into it from the set photos. This is definitely not a retelling of the Flashpoint storyline, because my first point in this is, in the Flashpoint storyline, when he goes back in time and he messes everything up, Bruce Wayne is no longer Batman. Bruce Wayne doesn't... Bruce
we
Wayne.
Had a great discussion about that.
Right. And it's Thomas Wayne. And and the DC universe will, well, the last Justice League movie.
Snyder Cut.
The Snyder Cut had set up certain things. Well,
for Flashpoint.
Actually, not Justice League, but Batman v Superman, which was also a Snyder film. But he set it up that Jeffrey Dean Morgan was Thomas Wayne. And Laura Conahan was Martha Wayne.
Right.
Which is a perfect setup for the Flashpoint film, where we would actually
We had that discussion. Two top tier actors.
You ain't kidding.
I mean, you know, who are talented,
right?
You know, not they don't do B stuff. I mean, you know, and well, they do some B stuff, but they've been great, and you know, they're good actors,
fantastic actors.
Yeah, and I think you're right. And I didn't catch that till we had that discussion about that. But I mean, not to rehash, but total great setup for Flashpoint
and
Jeffrey D. Morgan to be Thomas Wayne,
right?
And then the big surprise for me, one of the big surprises for me in Flashpoint, and knowing that Lauren Cohen could have been that character, was just like, oh my goodness.
Right. So, yeah.
So are we getting that? Are we getting that?
No, we're not getting that at all. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, he had been pushing to play the Thomas Wayne Batman. He said it in interviews. I was excited about it. I wanted it to happen. Then
It would have been fabulous.
It would have been so good. It would have been so good. Then Warner Brothers announced Michael Keaton's coming back, and he's going to be Bruce Wayne. So I'm excited about that. I want that to happen. But
so
then
it's going to be Bruce Wayne,
right?
Okay.
So what I'm hearing is what this is what I'm hearing we're getting.
Okay.
And
okay.
we like I said, we've got a set photo of Michael Keaton on the Flash set as Bruce Wayne. I mean, it's pretty obvious he's Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, he's in Bruce Wayne garb.
If you go into our shared folder, there should be a folder in there for this episode with photos in it.
Ooh.
Yeah, I have photos.
Okay, we're going to share those photos with everybody.
While Steven's getting that, just remember you can go to Ko-fi and you can get this episode on Ko-fi and see the photos too. You'll see Michael Keaton on the set. Did you find him?
I did.
Okay. So
there's the set photo. You want me to show it to everybody?
Yeah, go ahead and bring it up on the screen, please.
Okay. All right. So I'll share the screen going through the pictures.
Okay. All
right, so here's one of them.
So, yeah. Okay. In this scene, we actually...
That's Flash. Here, let me go back. You want me to go back to the beginning one? Hang on a second here.
There we go. That was it.
Okay. There's your picture.
Well, yeah, that's my background. That was actually the first... wait a minute. Go back to that a second.
Okay, sure. So everybody, if you're listening, we're showing the picture. There's a great artwork of... It totally is artwork of the Flash as... And that's the...
Ezra Miller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's
Ezra. And then behind him is Batman that looks like Michael Keaton.
Right.
Batman.
Yeah. And yes. It kind of looks like it maybe can... Can we get that bigger at all?
I think so, yeah.
There we go.
How's that?
Okay. So, yeah, the suit is interesting because if you look closely at the symbol, there was a change between the symbol in the 89 Batman and then Batman Forever. They made the bat have extra points and stuff. It was different. So it almost looks like the symbol of the 89 Batman. But if you look closely at the chest armor looks very similar to the Batman Forever armor because it looks more armor plated and less muscly, which the 89 right. Batman looked more muscly. So,
but that you're saying that's concept art, though, right?
Yeah, that's concept.
We don't know.
We don't know. But I just thought it was interesting that it's almost a combination of the 89 Batman and the Batman Forever. Costumes. Mm-hmm. So, and if we go to their next picture, okay, that's the Supergirl costume. Uh-huh. And so what we're looking at now is just the chest of Supergirl with the emblem, the Superman emblem.
That's pretty sweet. That's pretty good. That's detailed.
Yeah, and it matches the Henry Cavill suit. And if you look, there's markings that look Kryptonian within it. So there's actually like Kryptonian sayings in there and stuff, which is pretty cool.
Interesting.
Which again matches the Henry Cavill Superman suit. His is just like that. So that's kind of cool. And then here, this is it.
So we're looking at everybody. We're looking at the picture of Michael Keaton on set,
right,
in a suit. So we're like that with gray hair,
right. And
or white hair.
Right. And if you look at his hair, obviously they've given him a wig, a hair piece, because Michael Keaton's pretty much bald now. but his hair kind of matches what his hair looked like in the 89 Batman. Of course, it's gray now, grayish.
Right.
Where in the 89 Batman, he's definitely dark haired. Bruce Wayne.
Sure.
Okay. So, but I mean, it's, wait a minute, go back for a second.
Oh yeah, sorry.
So it's well established that this is our Bruce Wayne from the 89 Batman. And the other thing I found interesting was you see the steps?
Yeah.
See the steps in the background? Behind. That almost looks like the same, possibly like the scene in the 89 Batman when the other crime boss comes out to announce that Boss Grissom has given him all of his businesses and stuff. Right. which is a great, fantastic scene. If you haven't seen the 89 Batman in a long time, go back and watch it. I love that scene. That is so funny. Because that's when...
that's where he kills him, where the pin is mightier
right,
than the sword.
Right, right. But just before that, that's when he comes out. He announces that Boss Grissom has temporarily given him control of all of his businesses. And Knotts goes, "Oh, yeah, what? Did you guys do some time in school? You must have been really close." Time together right. in school. He must have been really close. right. Which was a great scene. And then, of course, that's when the Joker comes out. And Bruce Wayne is there in that scene also. But it almost right. looks like the same steps to me that we're seeing there. I don't know. I thought that was interesting. So I'm kind of wondering if we're looking at something similar to that scene.
Or that same location.
Right, right.
Okay. Okay.
So we get that.
Let's see, next picture pops up. Oh, it's Supergirl.
Supergirl. Now, this is where I don't understand where we're going. This is obviously not Kara that we know from the Supergirl TV series.
Right.
That Supergirl is a blonde Supergirl. And the research I did on it, I found out that this is the Laura Lane Kent version of Supergirl, which I never knew there was that version of Supergirl. I was like, who? Okay. Who is this? Well, it turns out that the Laura Lane Kent Supergirl is actually from the Injustice storyline. I had no clue. And I am fascinated by this because, I played a little bit of the game on my phone, and I read some of the first comic books, but I didn't get all the way through it. And I know in the first season, first series of that comic, Doomsday actually kills Lois Lane. He tricks Superman. Actually, technically, Superman kills Lois.
Injustice.
Superman. Yeah. Well, no,
it was the Joker.
Right, the Joker
with the whole bomb and all that kind of a thing. Yeah,
he tricks Superman. He makes Superman think that Lois Lane is Doomsday, and Superman actually kills. Spoiler alert! Actually kills Lois Lane, thinking it's Doomsday, and you find out that Lois Lane was pregnant when he killed her. So not only did he kill Lois Lane, but he killed his child. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where she comes from. I'm confused.
Right.
If
it'll be interesting to see what they do.
Right. Yeah. So that was an interesting take. So I'm like, okay, that doesn't really fit in with the Flashpoint storyline at all, though. And that's where
an alternate multiverse kind of a thing.
Right. Right. Well, and that takes us back.
Dadgummit, we're back to multiverse.
Well, you knew this is going to be a multi. Anything that has to do with Flashpoint is multiverse. But that takes us back. Go back to Michael Keaton for a second.
Okay. Mr. Michael Keaton. Okay.
So, okay. I'm excited Michael Keaton's back. But Michael Keaton's Batman does not really fit in the Flashpoint storyline. That's where it should be Thomas Wayne. But apparently the story they're going with is we're getting two different Batmans. And yes, we get two different Batmans in the Injustice, but we get the Bruce Wayne Batman, and then we get the Thomas Wayne Batman. But apparently in this one, we're getting alternate Bruce Waynes. So it's already been established that, but I haven't seen any set photos of him yet, but Ben Affleck is returning as Batman in this movie. So what I think is happening...
We're probably going to hit more multiverse stuff than we are the Flashpoint Paradox
film. Right.
Because even the Flashpoint TV, when the TV series did Flashpoint, that was totally different too.
Yeah, it was a lot different. I enjoyed that version, but it was a lot different. So what I'm thinking is we're getting Ben Affleck Batman in the beginning in the main storyline, which will be basically coming off of the Justice League, the Zack Snyder Justice League storyline. And then apparently we're going to have Barry, I don't know if he's going to try and save his mother. I don't know exactly how he's going to do it. But obviously, Barry's going to go back in time. And he's going to mess up the timeline and the universes. And that's where we get the 89 Batman, the 89 Bruce Wayne.
Okay.
So that's where we get him. Don't know where Supergirl comes into all this.
Yeah, probably all still, hey, we're going to use this opportunity to tell a story and let's get in a new Supergirl kind of a thing.
Right. So I don't know. I thought she looked pretty decent. Once I found out that she wasn't Kara, I was happy with her because I was like, okay, that doesn't look like the Supergirl we know at all.
Right.
So now this photo, go back to that one. This photo is obviously.
All right. So those that are listening, we're looking at one where it looks like Ezra Miller with someone else who I would assume would probably be.
That's Iris.
That looks like it's Iris.
Yes.
Yeah,
they're
on some stairs. And
that is the same Iris from the Zack Snyder movie, Justice League movie.
Okay. So he's in a suit. He's in a tie with a suit and walking with her. And
it looks like they're going down the same steps that we just in the other photo with Bruce Wayne that's behind him. It looks like the same steps. So I don't know what's going on here. I have no clue. But obviously we're getting Iris West, and we're getting the Iris West from the Zack Snyder verse, which is kind of cool. Okay, and then this is your background. So it's the
right. So this picture is the 89 Batman logo suit. You know it's on the suit.
Well, technically that's not the 89 logo, because the 89 logo has the extra little points in the bat symbol. So this would be closer to the Batman Forever one. And the chest looks to me more armored, like the Batman Forever one. But it's a slightly different color. It's more of a gray than a black, too, which I thought was interesting. But we get the blood.
Right. We got blood on it.
So the question here is, are we going into the Watchmen? Because that reminds me of the Watchmen button with the smiley face
button.
And the blood dripping on it. Right. Which I always like that.
Right. I don't know. That's too many connections. I don't know.
Well, you can't say that Warner Brothers hasn't done that in the past.
That's true.
So do we have a Watchmen connection here? Because I know Batman also played a big role in the last crossover with the Watchmen, too. So, they had a similar cover on the comic books to that photo. So could we be getting something with the Watchmen?
Some kind of crossover?
I don't know.
Well, I just don't want to see Dr. Manhattan. I've been traumatized.
I agree with you. I agree with you. Totally. So this is what I need. I need your therapy here.
Okay, let's do this. What's up?
So they're saying this is based on Flashpoint, but it seems to not have any of the Flashpoint elements whatsoever.
What's the concept? Let me ask you this. What's the concept behind Flashpoint? What's the big theme or big picture behind Flashpoint? Barry Allen goes back in time, makes a change, and it messes up everything else.
Right.
So maybe it's the aspect of, it is the concept of a flashpoint, but it's not the paradox story like we saw in the cartoon. Or and it may be in the same line as kind of what the Flashpoint story was in the Flash TV series. I think they're just using it as an opportunity to tell another story of what happens when you mess with time.
Okay.
Time messes back.
And
that's what I think this is.
I hope you're right, because I'm a big fan of Flashpoint. I love Flashpoint. I'm a huge fan of Michael Keaton Batman, and I want Michael Keaton Batman back in this universe. But I'm like, oh, you're are you going to mess up the Flashpoint? That's yeah, my big question.
Okay, so let's talk just a minute about this may help you.
I really want to love this movie. I want to love this movie.
You will like it. Here's what I want to encourage you with is stop thinking continuity. Stop thinking continuity. Because one of the things that Warner Brothers, you know, tried to do and they have not been successful with is the concept of continuity between all their films, because they're not as planned out as compared to Marvel.
Right.
Okay. Now, in my opinion, I think Marvel has continuity fatigue. And here's why I say this. They've got the What If series coming out. Because
right.
they want to tell the stories. There's great stories that you tell. And I think it releases the pressure off the directors. Because I think we're finding to a point where the directors are like, I want to tell the vision that I have, the story that I have, without having to follow all these rules. Because
okay.
creativity does not work well under rules.
Well, yeah, and Marvel has done a fairly good job at following the stories.
Because you've had one person who's been in control of the whole continuity
sure.
part of it all.
Well, yeah, and I think that was the thing that Marvel did correctly, and Warner Brothers just screwed up with DC. 'Cause
it can be a standalone film, and Warner Brothers screws it up.
Oh gosh,
sorry. So my
well, point, again, that takes there. Me back to I want to love this movie, but I have fears because they tend to screw these things up, and you've got elements to make this a perfect film, but are they going to introduce the Watchmen, and are they going to introduce too many elements like they've done in the past? You know, we already saw with the Batman v Superman, that was a combination of the Dark Knight Returns and Death of Superman thrown together, and we as comic book fans knew that was the wrong thing to do. Those should have been two totally separate movies. You know, you tried to cram too much story mm-hmm. into one mm-hmm. film, and it failed. It failed big time. And I'm just fearful they're going to do something like that with this. And you got, in my opinion, one of the greatest actors ever, Michael Keaton. And you're just going to screw it up. That's my big fear. I want to love this movie.
Yeah. So here's what I want out of this movie is I want the setup for Batman Beyond, because I want
yes.
Michael Keaton to be the one who plays the old Bruce Wayne.
And
Terry McGillis.
I think that's where they're going to go.
I hope so.
Because like you said, he signed on for three films. And I think that you if you're going to go that route, if you're bringing Michael Keaton back and you're going to to make him Bruce Wayne, the Bruce Wayne from 1989, you mm-hmm. have to go to Batman Beyond. You have mm-hmm. to. Now I got a question for you. So
sure.
Batman Beyond, we had Bruce Wayne take on somebody else.
Terry McGinnis.
Does Terry McGinnis still fit in the universe now? Because we now have, we've had Dick Grayson, the original Robin, who became Nightwing. Mm-hmm. We had Jason Todd, who died and then was brought back to life through the Lazarus Pit and became the Red Hood, which I love him as a Red Hood. And I would like to see the Red Hood in live action, which I think we're getting in the Teen Titans season 3. So I'm excited about that. Then we move on to my second favorite Robin, Timothy Drake, who I think is fantastic. Great Robin. Then Timothy Drake, I think, goes on to become Red Robin. I'm not sure. I think eventually he becomes Red Robin. Then we have Damian Wayne, Bruce Wayne's actual son. So here's the thing. Damian has been introduced in the comic books as Bruce Wayne's son, do we have Damian take over in Batman Beyond, or do we still bring in another person and have Terry McGinnis? That's the question.
I don't know. And I'm not too, I don't know if I want to answer that with a specific, oh, I'd rather have this, you know, then I've set myself up for some expectation that may just get blasted.
Well, I have expectations I wanna, for that movie.
Right. I'm just looking forward to seeing it happen. And I would like to see, that would be my one expectation, would be to see Michael Keaton be the,
right,
be the one who plays the old Batman.
See, I want a Terry McGinnis. I want Terry McGinnis. I really like.
I want
that
Terry
character.
McGinnis. I, you know, I think. Well, didn't they kill off Damian Wayne in the comics?
I don't think so. No, I don't. I don't think so.
Okay.
Not. I'm not 100% sure. I could be wrong on that, but I don't. I know Damian. Damian is not the most liked Robin, but I gotta admit, I've seen him in some of the animated films of late that I've come to like him better. But he, yeah. He kind of ranks with Jason Todd, in my opinion.
Right.
Who, again, I think is better at Red Hood than he was at being Robin. So, but yeah, so that's where we are.
All right. Spoiler alert. Damian is killed battling a brutal enemy, the Heretic, an adult Damian clone, in issue number 8 of the second volume of the Batman Inc. comic book, which went on sale February 27th, 2013.
So wait a minute. So we got a Damian clone now?
Yeah, something like that.
So, did the Camonians come into the DC universe?
Right. We're crossing the streams.
The cloners. Those cloners.
A powerful Damian Wayne rises from the dead, USA Today article. While many fans that Damian's grandfather, supervillain Ra's al Ghul, would put him in the, toss him in the Lazarus pit.
Of course.
His body was taken by Darkseid minion Glorious Goldthred to their hellish world of apocalypse.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Okay, so anyway, there's a whole lot of mess going on with Damian Wayne. So,
but even
I think they'll do something different.
You think they'll do something different? We can have another character?
I just mean, you know, they can't put too much into the film. They can't overload it. I know they've done that before.
No, I was going to say, they can't.
I can't.
Really?
I don't have enough information to do any kind of conjecture on what's going to be in the film. Other than,
well, true,
we got Michael Keaton, which is awesome. I want to see that Batman. We've heard, you know, you've stated about the whole thing about Ben Affleck coming in, which he is my favorite Batman.
Okay, actually. That takes us to something else.
Okay.
Here's the other rumor. Ben Affleck dies.
Right.
This is the demise of the Batman from the Snyderverse.
Batfleck. Oh, no.
Batfleck dies. Yeah. That's the rumor that's right now.
Right. I'm okay with that.
Are you really?
I am. And here's why.
Without a solo Batfleck film, you're okay with this. I'm not. Yeah. I'm not.
I would love I love the concept of what the original Batman movie was going to be with him.
Yeah.
You know, with going against Deathstroke.
Yes.
And stuff. That I was like, yeah, but I think understanding his frustration with Warner Brothers on a lot of this stuff and in trying to deal with them, I think is where I'm like, you know, it's okay. He had a good run and I thought that was really good. And so that's kind of where I'm at with that.
I don't think I feel that his Batman has not been developed enough.
No, it hasn't.
I agree. I want a solid solo Ben Affleck, Batfleck film. That's what I want.
With Deathstroke.
Yes.
That would have been phenomenal.
Yes. That could have possibly been my new favorite movie of this era of
the franchise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of this franchise.
Yeah.
Possibly.
So, I mean, would I have wanted it? Yes. Have I grieved it already? I have grieved it already.
Okay.
So that's why I can move beyond it because, you know, I was real upset about the fact that they went with, you know, Robert Pattinson and I'll give him a shot. I want to see how he does.
Oh,
you
know, emo Batman.
But I would.
I'm sorry. He looks like emo Batman to me. I mean, he looks good in the bat suit, but when he's out of the bat suit, I can't stand him. I don't like him.
You know, he is a good actor. He has done some great work on developing his skills as an actor and stuff. So I'm not too concerned about that. Yes, it's going to bring back, oh, wait, wasn't he that vampire kid? You know, kind of. I'm sure that's going to come up. I'm willing to give him a shot to see what it looks like.
Well, I'll go see the movie. I'm not saying I won't go see it.
Right. I was upset that that started without getting the Ben Affleck one. I agree with that. Yeah. That's when I griefed it. That's my point. That's when I griefed that. If they're going to kill him off, you know, it remains to be seen what's going to happen. You know, these things are just rumors and stuff. And I don't want to get myself too worked up about it, use up that emotional collateral or energy, would I have preferred to see the Batman Deathstroke movie with Ben Affleck? Yes. Did I think the actor who played Deathstroke would have been good for that?
Oh my gosh. Actually,
I do.
I do too.
I thought it would just been phenomenal. But Warner Brothers changed gears, and I think that's one of the problems with Warner Brothers. They don't stick to anything.
No, they don't.
They say they're agile in their leadership and stuff, but they're not. They are responsive leadership rather than proactive.
Yep.
So in other words, they're more reactive than they are proactive. And that's been the whole problem with the DC universe, the DCEU, because they were reactive towards what Marvel was, and they wanted to be somewhere. Yep. Like, let's be like Marvel. Some were like, no, let's do our own thing. And I agree with the ones that you be you, you're unique. Don't try to copy what they're doing, because you won't do it. You won't make it, because you didn't plan for it. You didn't develop it. It is not, you know, Marvel has been working on it for what? Over 10 years, 15 years, right, probably total. I'm thinking beyond the first Iron Man movie, you know, a couple of years before the first Iron Man movie.
Well, and here's the thing. Marvel had a plan. They planned theirs out, mm-hmm, and they've hit the marks.
But to be fair to DC, Marvel was the first to really create something beyond just a 3-movie trilogy, which was consistent all through a whole bunch of franchise films.
Right.
Was always this, we'll do our 3 movies and then we'll reboot or we'll redesign or whatever. So, excuse me, but Marvel was doing this whole, no, we're going to create a cinematic universe. And they are the only ones who have been able to do it successfully. And, you know, because weren't we going to try to get Universal was going to do a MonsterVerse?
Oh, my gosh. Yes, yes,
and,
yes.
And that actually would have been good.
Well,
if they had planned it, they.
But they also screwed up. They screwed up their characters, too. Come on. The Mummy wasn't the Mummy. that was horrible.
It was for the end. Because it was, well, they were trying to redesign it, concepts of them. Because, I mean, because I was like, why do we have Tom Cruise as the secondary character kind of thing until the very end?
Well, they only had Tom Cruise because they knew his name sells, puts
no,
seat,
because he
puts
ended
butts
up being
the
Mummy. He is the Mummy. That was the whole point, because he became the Mummy, you know, kind of a thing. And so...
Yeah, well, I think he's a dummy, not a mummy, so I'm sorry.
Well, I think that film killed it.
Yeah, it did.
You tried to introduce too much, you know, you didn't give enough backstory.
You didn't have a Universal Monster, and Universal Monster fans were upset. That's your problem. Mm-hmm. If you're going to do a Universal Monster universe, you have to have Universal Monsters, and the Mummy has to look like the Mummy. The Creature from the Black Lagoon is going to have to look like Creature. If it doesn't look like the Creature, you're not selling tickets. The fans are not going to come see that. If you got to have Frankenstein. Frankenstein's got to look like Frankenstein.
There was no real thought to it, and that's my point.
Exactly.
Like what Marvel did. And I think with the leadership at Warner Brothers, they've spent too much time trying to catch up rather than realizing who they are, why they've been successful in being that way. I do agree with you. I think the Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice was 2 movies in 1.
Yep.
I think Zack Snyder tried to do too much. I think, you know, I did.
I think if that would have been broken into 2 films and you would have told the story of the Dark Knight Returns, and you would have told the story of Death of Superman in 2 different films, I think he would have had a much better film. I think it would have worked a lot better. Mm-hmm.
But see, I think that was the push of, no, we have to hurry up and get our Justice League
together. Oh, I agree. That was.
Like, no, you don't.
No. They did it wrong. They messed it up. Now, I think Zack Snyder's Justice League was a turn in the right direction, and this feels like it's coming right off of Zack Snyder, what Zack Snyder built. So are we continuing Zack Snyder verse? Which I'm happy with if that's the case.
Now we're going back to the 89 Batman verse.
Well, yeah, of course we're bringing 89 Batman. That's your
biggest. We're doing multiverse Batman is what's happening.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I'm fine with that. I have no problem with multiverse Batman. I'm fine with that. And in my opinion, you're bringing the best Batman. And so, okay, cool.
And I think he's the perfect Batman for if they continue into Batman Beyond.
Oh, definitely.
And I so here's my point. Going all of that said was as part of this therapeutic session for you. All of that said is I'm okay with it does not have to be continuity. I can't believe I'm saying that about a multiverse.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I think for me personally,
but there is continuity though. It's coming
a
off
certain
of
level of continuity, but I'm
right. It's
I'm,
coming
I've
off the Zach
with it being, oh, it being its own
multiverse. Say it with me. Multiverse. Come on, you can say it.
Multiverse. Multiverse. Multiverse.
There you go. I love it.
That's my expectation of it. You know, we're introducing, everybody's doing multiverse right now. I think we're going to have multiverse burnout in about 5 years.
Possible.
Because everybody's doing it. You know, right now we're in the middle of Loki. You know, and that's introducing a whole set. Well, that's, as you said, I need to watch WandaVision.
Yeah.
Because that sets up Loki. Loki sets up evidently going into Doctor Strange.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
You know, and it's whole in the multiverse of madness. So they're doing this whole multiverse thing. I think the multiverse aspect of it is actually going to
implode.
My opinion, I think it is. I think everybody's doing it. You know, the Flash TV show did it, you know, several years ago. And that could have been a test market for some of it, you know, not for Marvel, but for DC. And everyone's doing alternate universe. I mean, alternate universe stuff has always been it. Stargate, you know, had a couple of episodes on multiverse stuff.
I did not know that.
They did. The
even though Richard, my namesake.
Richard Dean Anderson, not the Michael Shanks actor one. Wait. No, yeah, the Michael Shanks. Yeah, he was on that one. That's the one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because it was, the guy who plays Ray Reddington in the Blacklist was the guy in the movie with Kurt Russell. What was his name? He played Ultron.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
I never really watched.
James Spader.
So, okay. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
So anyway, but yeah, the TV series had Stargate TV series had some episodes dealing with a multiverse. They even have a Groundhog Day episode too. That was pretty funny.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of Groundhog Day.
Right? Yep. So the I guess my point being is with just trying to circle back is the multiverse, I think, is going to be overused soon. And I also think that the concept of trying to have all these movies go together, you know, this continuity between everything, I think that's going to die out, too. So I think we'll begin to see some more films that are like, look, we're just going to make a Batman movie. We're just going to make maybe we'll do our trilogy and then we'll have another Batman or, you know, kind of a thing. So,
well, I think that's where they're going with it's Robert Pattinson, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's where they're going with him because his is completely outside of everything we're seeing, like in this Flash movie, whatever it's going to be called. It is totally outside of that. Just like the Joker film, with,
Yes.
Joaquin Phoenix.
We're talking about the Joker film.
Completely outside. Has nothing to do with this universe.
I'm just telling you, I think it's foreshadowing. They're going to start breaking up where they're just like, no, we're going to make good movies. We're going to stop trying to do this continuity thing because we're not successful at it, for one.
But now Marvel has been successful at it, though. So
right, because that's because you have one person. You have one person who's in charge of the whole thing.
I agree. Warner Brothers is a mess. Warner Brothers
doesn't have that. Well, they are a mess.
They're a mess. That's all there is to it. They need to get their act together. If they got their act together, they could make this stuff work.
They could. They could be making double, if not triple, the amount of money they're making on their movies.
Not to mention that if they'd stop firing their directors, you know. Because they're constantly firing, rehiring, and now we got to change.
With Star Wars. And, that's a whole other subject. We should talk about Star Wars. Is, you know, I think we have the same issue with the Star Wars films.
Well,
and
movies.
The showings, and I think that's why. How did you say it? In Dave Filoni, we trust.
That's right. In Dave Filoni, we trust. Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's been. I think Dave, and. John Favreau have proven that you can have a cohesive stories, you know, and good stories that actually fit within the original framework of Star Wars, and have a good product, you know. And I don't feel that we got that with the sequel movies, the sequel trilogy. I don't feel that it was cohesive. I don't feel it connects. I mean, the only connection we have are, you know, Han, Luke, and Leia, and Chewie. That's the only connections we really have. And look what they did. They killed everybody. Well, they almost killed Chewie, too. You know, they almost killed everyone. And that sucked. I hated that. I was not a fan of that. So, yeah. In Dave Filoni, we trust. That's all I got to say.
Right.
Maybe Filoni can come over and teach Warner Brothers a thing or two.
Yeah. But now, what's our interview with Karen Travis? Now, our topic and our theme here is continuity within, you know, and letting go of continuity or whatever. But didn't Karen say, no, John Jackson Miller said it too, but Karen Travis, I think, also stated, you had freedom to write. Because how did Karen call those? How did she call those? I can't remember now all of a sudden. But the franchise film or franchise writing tie-in.
Yeah.
She said that in some cases she was given absolute freedom,
right? True,
kind of a thing. And so it may be not that bad. Maybe it's not bad that for authors or whatever, you know. But even John Jackson Miller said there was some freedom, even with his Star Wars writing,
right?
You know, and that, you know, that was an interesting conversation that we had with him. That was,
but
on the
John Jackson Miller
Kenobi.
John Jackson Miller was writing for Lucasfilms before Disney. Well, he did write some
and
after
during the
Disney
transition
too.
And everything too. Yeah, that's and that was true. The same with Karen Travis.
That's true. No, well, Karen was all long before the acquisition. Long before.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Because she was coming into the beginning of Clone Wars, is where she was coming into.
Okay.
I would have loved to have discussed this with her, but oh well.
Right. Well, that's okay. I mean,
No. I'm not bitter or anything. I mean, that's her choice. Right. That's her choice. And I, like I said before, we respect
her. She was great.
She was
a great interview.
She was a good interview.
She was fabulous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that interview. It was good.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I've been going through that Ringer book one.
Oh, yeah.
It's fabulous. I'm already like 10 hours into it.
Now that's an Amazon only, right? You can't get that anywhere else, can you?
I think so. That's just happened where I got it.
Right. Well, I
get
see. I have
and the thing on a deal.
See, yeah. I have Nook. I go Barnes and Noble, and I searched on Nook's library and I couldn't find it. So
you couldn't find it. So it must be Amazon.
I think it's Amazon only. So.
Yeah, because they had approached her. That's how she got started with them. They had approached her for her Wes Ayer series.
Okay.
And those were still under contract with somebody else. She said, I'm working on these two series. And that's what we talked about in the podcast. Anyway, sorry. Point being is there is still some freedom to have to do whatever. And I think that's what they need to give to these directors. I think the days of continuity were – I think people – this is just my opinion – I believe that people are coming to the point of saying you're pushing, try to do continuity so much and try to do some fan service type stuff that it's actually destroying the creative process of a good story.
Right.
encapsulated story within that film, because that's what makes a difference. And I personally think that's what we're starting to see unravel in the Marvel movies and shows.
Well,
because they're trying to do so many tie-ins,
right,
with, you know, trying to get things to connect, that we're missing a good story. Now, the trailer for Shang-Chi just came out, and I was like, yeah, that looks good. The trailer too, I think.
Okay.
But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that I think fandom has done this to us. We've done this to ourselves. Because we've demanded answers to everything, you know.
Yeah, and going into detail.
Okay, now, as a Star Wars fan, that's a double-edged sword. It really is. Because, sure, I want to know every detail I possibly can about Star Wars. But on the other side, sometimes it's fun to just go, okay, well, this is where I think that storyline would have went to, mm-hmm. you know, going back to like what I said when, you know, for like action figure collecting and such, when I was a kid, you know, mm-hmm. you get the action figures and let's go back to Star Wars, A New Hope and Obi-Wan Kenobi with pretty much a throwaway line, you know, your father served with me in the Clone Wars. And mm-hmm. and as kids, we were all like, what's the Clone Wars? You know, and
right.
we had our own ideas in our heads of what the Clone Wars were. And we had no clue of what George Lucas thought of it. And that mm-hmm. was kind of the fun of being a fan and just coming up with your own little headcanon. Like, well, this is what I mm-hmm. think the Clone Wars was. And this is what I think would have happened. And Anakin and Obi-Wan would have done this in the Clone Wars and stuff. So there's an aspect of that that we as fans, I think, have demanded a little too much, myself included. You know, I want answers to everything. How did Boba Fett get the dent in his helmet? We're getting that answer too. You know, where we could have just left that to our imagination. Well, I think Boba Fett, you know, fought this guy and so on and so forth. You know, so. So, yeah, I think we've done that. Now, and if you go back to, like, the days of, let's say, old comic books or even Lone Ranger, all right? Lone Ranger had tie-in material, too. But back then, no one cared if it fit perfectly into the TV show. Mm-hmm. All they wanted was a story. They wanted a good story with their hero, the Lone Ranger, you know? Mm-hmm. So you had all these books, and no one cared. But nowadays it's different. Everything has to connect and touch, and you know, well, that wouldn't work because they did this. And again, I'm guilty of that too. I am. So, in a way, I think fandom's done this to ourselves. We've done it to ourselves.
That's
so
insightful. Yeah.
Instead of worrying about telling good stories, we're more worried about continuity and making everything
continuity.
Connect,
So you think that's the issue coming full circle now to the whole issue of this Batman film?
Possibly.
The Flash film with Batman, 89 Batman.
Well, see, I don't know, because I think like we discussed, this 89 Batman is going to lead into Batman Beyond. And I think there's going to be something in between there. I think we're going to get something in between there. I don't know what it is, because obviously he signed on for 3 films. So we've got the Flash film, and then we've got possibly Batman Beyond. So what's the second film? What's between those two? Mm-hmm. That's the question. Are we going to have a transition where we're actually going to see another Michael Keaton Batman film? I mean, full-on Batman film? I don't know. Maybe that leads into Batman Beyond, and you know, because at the beginning of Batman Beyond, we get the story of how he actually pulls a gun on a criminal. And
right.
at that point,
spoiler alert. I'm just kidding.
At that point, that's when he decides I've got to drop the Batman persona. I can't do it anymore because I can't do it as, you know, under my own rules, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, are we going to get a film leading into that? Could be.
I don't know. You know, I would like to see.
I think Keaton Flashpoint, could do it too.
This one, Flashpoint, would turn into, okay, now right after this event is when he has the heart attack and has to pull a gun.
Oh yeah, I forgot about the heart attack. Yeah.
Yeah. So then we move into now we get to find Terry McGinnis, and you know, when we go into that, then we do a follow up of Terry really coming into his own
and as becoming the Batman.
Becoming the Batman.
And hence we get another Batman.
Right.
All right. Now there is some more news that I wanted to go over. I know we've hit our hour mark, but we got to talk about this. We have to talk about this.
Yes.
And because this is
everybody, you just heard what I've heard every week for 4 weeks. We got to talk about it. Go ahead. I'm kidding.
So we also talked about when we had Jason Swank on before, and we were talking to him about Batman. We discussed that DC was coming out with a 1989 Batman comic book to continue where the Michael Keaton Batman left off. Mm-hmm. That is happening. It's going to go digital first, and it debuts July 27th. Oh, I'm so excited.
So just in a month from now.
Yes. Yes.
So
it will be on the DC Universe app.
Do you believe that's going to be that continuation of that leads into what we're going to see in Flashpoint?
I think it might because what I'm seeing, number one, we get Billy Dee Williams, Two-Face, which I'm super excited about.
Heard that in the comic we're actually going to see Billy, because originally it was supposed to be Billy Dee Williams,
right? He was introduced in the first Batman film.
He was as Harvey Dent. I thought, oh cool.
And you know, I'm a big Billy Dee fan. I love me some Billy Dee Williams. He's awesome. So when they announced Batman Forever, and granted, I like Tommy Lee Jones too. Tommy Lee Jones is a fantastic actor. He really is. But there was part of me that was crushed, because I'm like, I wanted to see what Billy Dee would bring to this character. Mm-hmm. I was excited.
Well, it was that, you know, that was the first one that wasn't so dark. It wasn't, you know what I mean? It wasn't the Tim Burton dark Batman.
Right, right.
And it was so over the top campy.
Right. Oh, it was. And I guess for
cringeworthy campy.
I guess for what the movie was, Tommy Lee did fine.
He acted exactly how he was supposed to for that film.
Yeah, for that film, right.
And he's that good of an actor. He was, if I had not seen him as the caliber of actor that he was in the other stuff, like Right Stuff and, you know, and you know, The Fugitive.
The Fugitive.
And some of these, and I'm like,
I didn't kill her. I don't care.
Right. I think I would have thought if he was just some other actor, it would have been really bad. That's a bad actor. But knowing his caliber, he acted exactly how that film was supposed to be, which was campy and over the top. And I think that's how they were told to do it, to bring it back to kids level, or to try to attract kids to sell toys and all that.
I don't know if you could say that, though. I mean,
No, there are some scenes, of course.
But
my point being is it was not as dark. It was campy. He's an incredible actor. I'm glad we didn't get Billy Dee Williams to play it for that kind of movie.
I agree.
If Tim Burton has continued his trilogy,
I would have loved to seen Billy Dee.
Billy Dee would have been the Two-Face, and I think it would have been incredible.
So I'm excited. I've seen,
hey baby, let me flip the coin. You know, as you were doing your the impression.
It's just business, baby.
Right.
Colt 45 works every time. Anyway. And I've seen artwork of Billy Dee. As
I've seen the artwork, I just saw one.
Yeah, panel. That's all I saw too.
And look, I was like, dude,
that alone. I'm like, if there's a comic with that cover, you know, that as the cover, I want it, and I think I want it framed somewhere, because he looks great. He looks great. It's just as I would have imagined him being in the film. So super excited about that. I'm really, really,
you know, you should get that comic. Get a couple of them, because in the next Comic-Con where he's at and he's doing signings, get him to sign it.
Autograph that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
So, okay. Then that takes us to, this is going to be where things get a little, might get a little weird. So there was talk back when, Tim Burton was doing the film.
Okay, so the 89 series.
Right.
Okay.
There was talk that we were going to get introduced to Robin in his versions of the film.
Oh.
Now, okay. Here's the thing, though. Marlon Wayans was rumored to be Robin.
No.
Seriously.
Oh, are you talking about for this Flashpoint one?
No.
Way back then.
So, like, after Batman Forever.
Oh, weird.
I mean, after Batman, Batman Returns.
Batman Returns.
What, 91, 92, whatever that was.
Something like that, right.
After the Batman Returns, Tim Burton was supposed to continue. Michael Keaton was supposed to continue. And there was talk that Marlon Wayans was going to be Robin.
Huh.
I think it's a weird casting choice.
I don't know. That's a rumor. That's hard to say because this is, what, 30 years later?
But that's the question. There's talk that we're going to get a Marlon Wayans Robin in this comic series.
Oh, well, okay.
So
it'll be interesting to see.
I don't know.
It'll be interesting to see if they do that. Okay.
Right.
I'm up for that. I'm up to see how they would play that out.
I'll admit, I'm more excited about Billy Dee.
Right.
I'm a lot more excited about Billy Dee. So, and then they're talking, we're going to get Poison Ivy,
mm-hmm.
Batgirl, and mm-hmm. Harley.
Now, is this all in the comic series?
Yeah, this is all in the comic series.
The
continuation of the 1989 Batman. This is all.
Yeah, and would all, man, my question so, would be, would so, all that lead into, to give us background
for
what's gonna,
the Flash?
What's going to happen in the Flash movie?
I kind of think. Now we're going back to, should we connect everything again? But,
well,
I don't know. I think this will work.
In all fairness, you're world building.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what that is. This isn't really technically connectivity. I don't view it as connectivity as much as, it would be the aspect of we're world building. Because you've got Batman and Batman Returns. And now you're going to reintroduce them. Well, a lot of people are, well, how did we get here? Or how did we get there? Now, I think they'll just continue on. But I think they had to do some world building. And they said, well, let's just give it, you know, to the comics. And let's give it, you know, the fans some comics. I don't think the comics will give you any specific foreshadowing of the events they're going to be in the Flash.
Oh, I don't think so either.
But it will do world building. That's what I think they'll do. And I think it'll be great.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think what this is doing, it's developing the Michael Keaton Batman world, which is what we're going to see in the Flash movie. I got to quit saying Flashpoint because it's not Flashpoint.
No, it's just Flash movie.
This is not Flashpoint. So,
well, it's the Flashpoint theme.
Yeah, but
Flashpoint.
At this point, I don't want them titling it Flashpoint. I don't want it to have the title Flashpoint. I'm hoping
they titled the TV one Flashpoint, didn't they? Didn't they call that Flashpoint? TV one.
Well,
see, it's a theme. It's a concept.
I know,
and it gives them the license to be able, let's create a what if. We're using Flash as our what if kind of a thing.
But it's not exactly a what if because it actually has
multiverse implications.
Right. It actually
multiverse.
Well, again, like I said, it's rumored Batfleck is going to die. So, you know, what happens in this movie affects the entire DC universe going forward. So that's why I say this is not a what if. What if is what if this happened?
So just like in the comics, we're rebooting the DC universe. I mean, how many times has DC rebooted the universe in the last 10 years?
500 times.
Right. So
probably more. Got,
yeah. So, you know, you know, we've had Crisis. We've had Rebirth. What's the latest one?
I have no idea.
It's the Rebirth, the one before the one, the current one. Yeah. It's just, you know.
Well, we've had several Crisis. So
Right.
There's even been Final Crisis.
Right. Which there's a crisis off of that one too.
And I know from rock bands doing final tours, when I say final, most of the time it doesn't mean final.
Right.
I mean, let's face it, in 92, Ozzy Osbourne did the No More Tours tour, which is a great title. I love the title because it went off his album, No More Tears. So he had the No More Tours tour. And then like a year later, he goes back on the road, and the title of his tour then is The Retirement Sucks Tour.
That's funny.
So he had no intentions of retiring.
Right.
And by the way, the No More Tours tour, Ozzy Osbourne looked his best. I have to say, he was thin, trim, a little bit not beefed up, but toned up. Mm-hmm. He looked good. I was like, wow, I can't believe Ozzy Osbourne looks this good. Mm-hmm. And then he's kind of let himself go, but he's much, much older now. So anyway.
Right.
Anyway.
Right. All right. Well.
Oh.
All right. Anything else on your list? What are we missing? I don't want to make sure we're missing anything.
So July 27th is going to be the release of the digital versions on the DC app. Okay. Six issues are going to be published digitally.
Okay.
The first day.
Oh.
Now, the only thing I got to say about that is the digital comics tend to be shorter than physical comics. So
really it could be all one big comic.
Right. Or maybe three comics.
Three comics.
Yeah. Because I think two digitals kind of equal one physical. Yeah. But regardless, it's still cool news. Then once it's all released, all of them, all the issues, not just those six, but all of them, it's going to be compiled into two physical copies. And those are supposed to be released in August. So we get two basically trade paperbacks from what I'm
like an omnibus.
Well, not the omnibus. The omnibus will be the hardcover collected version, and that gets released in October. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So this is all coming out pretty quick. So, yeah, I do think this is kind of to tie in to the Flash film, especially the timing of way this is coming out. Yeah, I think you're right. This is the world building for the Michael Keaton Batman universe. And to fill in a little bit of the gaps that we missed because of those two Batman movies that we shall not name.
Right. Okay.
All right.
Woo! All that news. You got it all out. How do you feel?
Exhausted.
Oh, my goodness. Well, hey, everybody, if you have stuck with us through the end, thank you. We appreciate it. Man, this was a lot to go over and a lot of discussion surrounding it. We want to hear from you. What do you think? What do you believe about this new Flashpoint series or movie, Flash movie? I'm sorry. Sorry, Mike. Flashpoint. I'll try not to say Flashpoint, but this new Flash movie where we get to see the 89 Batman. I'm excited for it. Obviously, Mike is super excited for it. But we'd love to hear from you about with it. So go to our Facebook page. Go to our website, twogeeksmike.com. That gets you to all of our sites. Or just find us on Facebook, Two Geeks and a Microphone. Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. And also, woo, all right, Mike. Well done. Well done, dude. That was a lot to hit. And stuff.
Yes, it was.
Good job. So it's all you now to close us out.
All right. Well, with that said, over and out. May the force be with you and
tune in tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thank you for joining us today on the Two Geeks and a Microphone podcast. Tune in next week when we will have more news and reviews. Until then,
may the force be with you.